reading comes from John chapter 14, reading from verses 1 to 11, and it's on page 901 of the blue books. That's John chapter 14, reading from 1 to 11. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as usual, keep that passage open in front of you. If you need to help yourself to a Bible, please get one and open it up to John 14. Just thinking about what Rob was praying there about the unsettledness of our world. It's quite interesting that we very naturally fall into this mindset that when things become unsettled, that's when we start to lose focus on God. We start to put faith stuff to the side. We start to put Jesus' church stuff to the side. We need to put that to the side so we can focus on things at hand. But I want to encourage you, that's not the way it should be. That's not what we should be doing. When you think about the unsettledness of our world, think of it like tilled soil. That when the world becomes unsettled, when circumstances start to become a bit crazy and things are a bit unsettled and unsure, and think of like tilled soil. There's a place, there's an opening for God to take us deeper into relationship, take our trust deeper. There's a tilled soil in our neighbors and in our workplaces where we can be sharing the gospel into those places where that unsettledness is actually an opening for us to share the comfort and the peace I can have with the Lord Jesus into. So I want to encourage you that when things become crazier, press into God further. Don't put God to the side until you've got things sorted out and then come back. Press into God and see that unsettledness is actually tilled soil for God to take you deeper into relationship and for you to share the gospel into the lives of others deeper, in a deeper way. Let's pray as we look at our passage today. Lord God, Father, Son, and Spirit, Lord, we come before you today. Heavenly Father, we pray that your word would sink deep into our life this morning. No matter what is going on, no matter whether we're stuck at home, whether we're unable to work, whether we had plans and those plans have now gone by the wayside, whatever the circumstances, Lord, teach us afresh that you are the God of our circumstances and nothing, Lord, can remove us from your hand. May we trust in that and may we know that in a way that impacts the life that we live. The very air that we breathe is trust in you. And that's all because of you, Lord Jesus. We can have that great assurance. As we saw last week, you are the way, an assured way to God. And we pray, Heavenly Father, as we open your word, we pray, Lord, you teach us mightily. that you would convict us, challenge us, mold us, shape us, do all those amazing things that you do through your word, by your spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would do that here this morning. We pray that we would see you, Lord Jesus, as the truth of God. And may we know that truth, and may we embrace that truth. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, last week we began our journey through this new series that's before us, checking out 13 claims that Jesus made about who he is, which we'll pick up at different times. So again, next week, we'll do Jesus is the life, and then we'll pick it up again at Easter time into the middle of the year and into September. 13 claims about who Jesus says that he is. We're seeing Jesus for who he is. It should inspire us, and it should challenge us to think about, well, then, what does that mean for me? Who does that say that I am? It should inspire and challenge us to a saving and unshakable faith in him. Well, last week, we saw how Jesus declared that he was the way. He was the way to God. But today, Jesus gives us another potentially obscure trademark, that he's the truth. But he's the truth of what? What is he the truth of? He's the truth about what? No, of who? That's the right question. Of who? See, Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus isn't just the way to God, but he's the truth of God. Jesus is the way to God because it's God himself in Jesus is the truth. The reality, the existence of God, all come in flesh to us, that in coming to Jesus, we'll find real life in our Creator. As the writer of Hebrews teaches us, this is Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Hebrews chapter 2. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of our faith perfect through suffering. Lord, show us. Show us the Father, Jesus. Show us the Father, said one of Jesus' disciples. To which Jesus replied, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. See, the truth that we need to seek after to understand God, to understand us, to understand our world, to understand our eternity, it's in Jesus. The standard to which we hold ourselves and our society and our actions and our intentions and motivations to, it's in Jesus. The truth of who we were created to be and how we're to exist in right relationship with God, it's in Jesus. And so the truth of our sin, of our need for salvation, is all found in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And so if Jesus is the truth of God, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, that's what we'll be exploring this morning, where firstly, it means that there's one fundamental truth to all things. Jesus says, I am the truth. And as we read in Hebrews, through Jesus, God the Father created all things, and he upholds the whole universe and everything in it, where everything is being subjected to him. There's one fundamental truth and understanding lying behind all things in our existence, and that's found in one person, in the one through whom all was created and is held up. It's in Jesus. And so that's our first point this morning. It's our main point, that Jesus is and has the truth. He's not a truth. Where because there's one fundamental truth to all things, that's a truth that we need to hear, which is our second point this morning, that Jesus is a truth that we need to come to know. He is a truth we need to come to know, because it's that fundamental truth and understanding that we can't live without, which will then take us to our final point of this truth discovery this morning, that being a truth that we can't ignore, we must embrace it. as a fundamental part of who we are, reborn by God through faith and belief in this truth of Jesus. We're in unpacking these points. We can't and we shouldn't want to avoid these questions. I want these questions to bounce around in your head this morning. Do we know Jesus? Do we know him? Are we trusting him? Are we trusting Jesus? And is that the life that we are living? Questions so important that if you notice, they reflect the three trademarks that Jesus is claiming here. Do we know Jesus as the way? Are we trusting Jesus as the truth? And are we following Jesus as the life that we're to live? So there's one fundamental truth to all things. Make sure your passage is open in front of you. There's one fundamental truth to all things. One fundamental understanding lying behind all things in our existence. That's found in Jesus. We're our first point this morning, that Jesus isn't a truth. He isn't a truth, but he is and has the truth. Now, this was a key thing that, remember, we learned last week when we talked about Jesus being the way. But these claims of Jesus isn't simply that he has the way, the truth, and the life of God, as though they're just his opinions, they're just his ideas. And, well, you can shop around for other ones, but these are just my thoughts and my ideas. He's not one of many possible gurus. But Jesus is these things. Jesus is these things. He is the way. He doesn't have the way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Through Jesus himself is the way to God. Through himself as the truth, the reality, the existence of God. Jesus himself is to be the life that we live in relationship with our God. We're not used to something being so absolute, though, are we, in our world? We're not so used to things being so defined. So black and white. In fact, the world pushes incredibly strongly against this idea that no one person has the right, no one person has the power to determine an absolute truth, that must be left up to the individual. It's actually really hard for me to convince somebody that there's oxygen outside, because that's not, the world would frown upon me imposing that truth onto someone who doesn't believe that that's the case. The world vies for individualism. It pushes against this idea of absolute truth. And this is correct. This is correct when we're talking about humans trying to play God. But we're not talking about us. We're talking about God himself. Jesus has the power to declare the truth because he created and upholds everything, even existence itself. And he has the right to declare the truth because it was created for him. And he's God. See, Jesus isn't just offering some good wisdom or some helpful perspectives on life. His words aren't some opinions. They're not mere suggestions. But Jesus has and speaks and embodies in everything he is and does the fundamental truth and understanding there is when it comes to God, life, eternity. As he says in verse 10, which we'll unpack a little bit later, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me. Jesus isn't a truth about God, but Jesus is the truth of God. Again, as we repeated last week, Jesus is the only way to God. Dan, is that mic pinging a lot? Sorry. It sounds a lot pinging up here. I apologize. We got our new sound gear in this week, and we're still playing with it, so... Jesus is the only way to God. That's what we repeated last week. I hope that was stuck in your head all of last week. Now, after declaring this, that he's the only way to the Father, to his disciples in verse 1 and 7, he then begins to expand on him being the truth of God, that he's the reality of God before man. Have a look there with me, verse 8 to 9. This is reading from verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? The reason Jesus is the truth of God is because he's one with the Father. Jesus is one with the Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit. They are one. We worship a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, all one in nature, essence, power, but separate in role and purpose. So as the disciples were talking with Jesus, they were actually speaking with God himself. A unity that met when Jesus died for our sins, he didn't merely die as a man, but he died as our divine, powerful Savior. However, although fundamentally united, this separation between the Godhead meant that when Jesus died on the cross, the Father in heaven didn't, but he raised Jesus to life. Likewise, when Jesus returned to heaven, the Holy Spirit was able to come and dwell within believers. But the unity between the Son and the Spirit meant that Jesus wasn't saying goodbye, but he would continue to still be with believers. We worship a triune God, where Jesus declared the truth of this God to us. So what is this truth of God? Well, the simple answer is that Jesus is the truth that God is. Jesus is the truth that God is. Jesus is the proof, the truth, the recognition that God exists, and he exists beyond us, as in he isn't a creation of us. He isn't determined or controlled by us. And so he's a being that we must acknowledge. We can't play ignorance. We can't play naivety, nor can we continue to act as the gods of our own universe. Jesus is the truth that God is. And that impacts the very core of who we are. If God is, then what does that mean for me? But this is actually really exciting. This is really exciting because with Jesus being the truth that God is, that God exists, knowing that Jesus is that God come to us in the flesh to live and walk and dwell among us, while yes, that's confronting for us to know that we can't ignore and disregard God, that there is a reality beyond us that we must accept, it also means that we can know God. This God who is beyond us came that we might know him. That's incredible. Any question that we have about who God is, about who we are, about how we came to be, about our world and what the heck is going on in our world, where it's going, what it's doing, about those big questions that we have about life and about love and existence, they can be found in embracing Jesus and seeking relationship with him as the way to God, the truth of God. The pot can know the potter. The pot can know the potter. That is incredible. It's like being given access to the internet. Imagine you've lived your entire life on an island, isolated from everything and everyone. Before you start thinking that that would sound fantastic at the moment, I'm not going in that direction, so you might have to just put off the holiday plans. Imagine you've lived your entire life on an island, isolated from everything, isolated from everyone. You've got questions, don't you? You see stuff, but you don't know stuff. You've got questions. Then someone arrives and hands you access to the internet, along with the confronting reality that there is something outside of you, that there is a whole world that you did not know about. Apart from that confronting reality, there's also joy in knowing that. Grasping God's existence is confronting. It's meant to draw us to him. It's meant to challenge our rejection of him. But with Jesus coming to bring relationship, not judgment, there's life and there's joy found in that confrontation, isn't there? There's life found in that confronting. Yes, we are confronted and challenged, but that draws us to life. It draws us to life. So what's the truth of God that Jesus is? Well, it's that God is, that he exists. But this leads us to the deeper answer to this question, that if it's true that God exists, a God who created us, who's sovereign over all things, who came to save us out of our rejection of him and into relationship with him, then the fact remains we can't know life without him. Now, I'm talking about real life, not sort of fake worldly stuff. Real life now and eternally. That there's no existence without God. We will all stand before him one day See, just because someone doesn't believe in God doesn't void him as their creator. If I don't believe in God, the truth of God still stands. It isn't cancelled out somehow. If I don't believe in oxygen, that doesn't remove the fact that I need oxygen to live. Just because I don't believe it doesn't void it. There's no one independent of God, just those who acknowledge him and those who don't. There's no one who can lift themselves out of the curse of sin and death, just those who know Jesus as their Savior and those who don't. Not yet. That's our prayer, that they would. There's just those who have life and those who don't know Jesus yet. Jesus is the truth that God is. And that's a truth that means that we can't know life without him, which is why Jesus came, why humanity wasn't left and abandoned to our sin, why Jesus was here with his disciples declaring to them who he is. I am God. Come to me for life. It's why he was declaring to them who he was. Why this truth of Jesus is one we're to know, which is our next point. So if there's one fundamental truth to all things, one fundamental understanding lying behind all things in our existence, a truth that God exists and that we can't live without him, and that truth is found in Jesus, well, then the giant neon question that we can't avoid, that's on the slide before that one, is, do you know him? Do you know him? Not of him. I'm not talking about, do you know of Jesus? Like, yep, I've heard that name before. It sounds familiar. Do you know him? Do you know him? Have you come to Jesus humbly, honestly, fully, repenting, surrendering with joy and rejoicing, knowing that Jesus isn't simply another way, that he's not simply some option or a preference or an optional extra, but that Jesus is the truth we need to surrender to? Do we know him? Now you can turn that slide. Have you ever seen A Few Good Men? Andy, I was thinking of you when I thought of this movie. Have you ever seen A Few Good Men? A Few Good Men. Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise. That famous scene in that movie, which I'm sure comes to mind as soon as I mention the name of that movie. Jack is in the witness box in court being questioned by Tom, and all Tom wants is the truth. All Tom wants is the truth. But it's a truth that Jack's hiding and keeping to himself because he doesn't think that Tom can handle it. You want the truth? I'm not going to do it because that's... You want the truth? No, it's too early in the morning. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. Because there's one fundamental truth to all things, this is a truth we need to hear, isn't it? Which is our second point today. But the truth of God isn't something that Jesus is keeping from us, but it's a truth that he wants us to know. He's not going to hide it. He wants us to know. Verse 10. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does this work. I want to share this with you. I want you to know the Father. If anyone had grounds to think that the truth couldn't be handled, it was here where Jesus essentially tells the disciples that he and his heavenly Father share the same space in reality, that they are united as one, that Jesus was God, and that everything that he was doing with the full authority of God. If anyone had grounds to think the truth couldn't be handled, it was Jesus and his disciples right there. But despite this massive explosion of what this would have been for them, Jesus doesn't hold back. You need to come to the Father. Because we are one, you must come to me. All I do in him. Jesus doesn't hold back because this is why he came. Jesus coming was a moment that declared to us the kind of God that we have. One that not only truly exists, but who came to dwell with us. Who came that we might know him. That we would be risen from the darkness and brought into the light. Taken, rescued, saved from who we had become in sin to who we were intended to be in him. The truth of God is a truth that we're to know, not run from, not hide from, not think is for other people. for another time, another season, perhaps. Oh, I think it's pretty irrelevant now. It's a bit outdated, that boring religious nonsense. Jesus is a truth of God that we're to know and believe and trust. So what are we to know about the truth of God? Well, all of it. That's a simple answer. All of it. The truth of God, the understanding of God that Jesus of the Bible teaches us is for us to know, is all for us to know. But that first truth that we must heed is coming to Jesus and believing he's the way into relationship with God, which is a fundamental truth we must know and cling to and faithfully trust. Knowing that outside of God, we're dead in sin, living in a prison cell on death row. But in Jesus, those prison walls are broken. Those chains are obliterated. That sentence is scrubbed from our record. Our sins are washed as white as snow by Jesus taking our place. We must know relationship with God. See, some, though, see the gospel, this good news of Jesus, this truth of God, as a mystery. You know, we read in different parts of the New Testament about how the gospel is referred to as a mystery. And sadly, we read that to say that God's keeping it hidden from us. Like a murder mystery, the murderer does not want you to find out who they are. Believe me, I've watched a lot of them. They do not want you to know who they are. They keep that mystery to themselves. It's a murder mystery because they don't want you to figure it out, and it's going to be a hard slog to work it out. It's not that. God's not keeping it hidden from us, that it's beyond us to understand or something. That's not the case. See, the Greek use of the word mystery, the Greek being what the Bible is written in, the Greek use of the word mystery is that it's something that's held hidden for it to be revealed at a particular time in order to make it astronomically better. Think surprise party. Think surprise party. I'm going to throw Sam a surprise party. Sorry. Sam doesn't know I'm going to throw a surprise party. I'm going to throw Sam a surprise party, but I'm going to keep that from her. I'm going to keep that hidden. I'm going to keep it a mystery from her. Not because I don't want her to find out. I would love her to find out about this party because it's for her. But I'm going to keep it hidden so that when she turns up and she opens the door, we will then surprise her in all glory and fireworks and popcorn and everything. It's kept hidden so it can be revealed at the right time. Think surprise party. The mystery of God's salvation was held as a mystery until Jesus came at the perfect time to reveal in his fireworks show on the cross, on the grave. It wasn't a mystery to keep us from knowing. It was a mystery to reveal it to us and for us powerfully. A mystery Jesus was so ready to reveal to our dark world that he told the Samaritan woman at the well, John 4:23-26. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. He's the truth of God. He will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Worshipping God in spirit by being born again through faith in Jesus. Jesus being the truth of God, we must come to know and accept and believe, worshipping God in spirit and in truth. So what does this mean, that the truth of God is one we're to know? Well, do we trust Jesus? Do we trust Jesus? Are we trusting what he says, that we're embracing what he's saying? Do we trust what he says so that we're embracing what he is saying to us? What makes Jesus trustworthy, I wonder? What makes what we read in the Bible trustworthy? Are we trusting the Bible as truth? Now, if the answer to those questions is yes, then are we living out that truth? Are we living by that truth? And this is our last point this morning. That this truth of God in Jesus is one we must embrace as a fundamental part of who we are, reborn by God through faith and belief in Jesus. Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. See, Jesus won't let the disciples go. He will keep going on. Believe in me. Believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life of the Father. I am the way to God. Believe that faith in me is the way you're to go, that the truth you're to know, the life you're to live. And if you won't believe just on my word, believe on account of what you see me do. Believe. Jesus' message to the disciples is simple. And his message to us, the one he's calling us to hear, is the same. Believe. Embrace this truth before you. We're to embrace the truth of God, the forgiveness and new life found in God, the right eternal relationship he offers, the gift of his Son he's given to save us. Better come to Jesus in repentance and faith, asking forgiveness of our sin, declaring our surrender to him as Savior and as King, to be reborn of God, out of our sin and born again of the Holy Spirit, where the truth of God is a fundamental part of who we now are. So that journey to understand God, to live out this new life in him, it can begin experiencing real life, hope, love, joy, seeing our world from God's perspective, being built up and transformed by the Holy Spirit to be continually more like Jesus, a step closer to eternity of heaven. This is what we're to embrace. And we're missing if we're not. So have we? Have we? Is that the life we're living, or are we standing to the side, not fully embracing what we've been given? I remember when Samsung first brought out the virtual reality goggles, and I got a new Samsung phone, and they gave us the goggles to go with them, and I thought, I've never been allowed near technology like this before. And so I tried them on for the first time, and it blew me away. Having these virtual reality goggles on blew me away. And one of my friends came over, and I couldn't help myself, but they had to try it. They had to try it. I became the spokesperson for virtual reality goggles that day. They had to try it, so they did. But they just weren't as thrilled. They, yep, okay, whatever. The next day they came over, I wanted to try the goggles again, but they just weren't very excited. Put them on. They just weren't very excited. Eventually, they asked me if the goggles did anything. Because, they had only ever seen the loading screen. They put the goggles on, but they didn't press the start button. And all they saw was just the loading screen on the goggles. They asked, well, do they do anything? Because they're pretty useless. They're pretty boring. They never fully embraced this thing that they had. Sometimes we know of Jesus. We don't distrust Jesus or anything like that or what he says, but we never embrace this truth that Jesus is the life we're to live, that Jesus is to be fundamental to our life. Following him should be a fundamental part of each and every day because it's fundamental to who we are. A life where we can seek after God for anything we need, that there's no limits to the depths of searching for us to seek after God for his fullness, for the fullness of God. We have access to the source of all knowledge and understanding. We need just ask. We have personal access to the creator of existence. I don't know any other words to explain how incredible that is. We need just come. Are we living a life that's truly accepted the truth of God that is found in embracing faith in Jesus? Have we repented in belief in Jesus? Have we been baptized, brought our family to be baptized in celebrating the salvation and covenantal promises of God for us? Have we shared with others of what God has done in our life? Is our heart full? Is our heart full of the joy of being one with our God and he being one with us? Do we know peace? Despite pandemics and uncertainty and hardships, do we know peace in our Savior? Why not? The way and the truth is right before us. So So the truth we need to seek after to understand God, us, our world, our eternity, it's in Jesus. The standard to which we hold ourselves and our society to, our actions, our intentions, our motivations, it's in Jesus. The truth of who we were created to be and how we're to exist in relationship with God, it's in Jesus. And so the truth of our sin, of our need for salvation, it's all found in Jesus. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth we can't and we shouldn't want to avoid. Do we know him? Are we trusting him? Is that the life that we are living? Do we know Jesus as the way? Are we trusting in Jesus as the truth? Are we following Jesus as the life that we're to live? Let this morning be an encouragement to us. Let me pray. Lord God, your word is an incredible encouragement to us. You, Lord Jesus, are the way, the truth. You are the life. Lord, despite what is going on, may we know that and may we endure whatever comes with that. Lord Jesus, you came to bring us into relationship with the fullness of God, with our Heavenly Father, now and for eternity. There was no small price. It's incredible for us to know that you desire a relationship with us. May we embrace that. May we embrace that. We pray, Lord, you do that work in us by your Spirit to lead us to faith, to strengthen our faith, strengthen our walk. For those of us here who do not know you, Lord Jesus, forgive us of our sin, we pray. Lead us to God. Lord Jesus, may you be our Savior. May you be our King. May you be our Lord, now and forever. May we live this life of seeking after you and following you, knowing the assurance we have of our home in heaven. We pray this in your great saving name, Lord Jesus. Amen.